out your bed.
Good morning, good morning.
Don't be asleep, she.
Good morning, good morning.
No, you know what?
Because I'm in the mood now to do the argument one. I'm so in the mood. Listen, if you guys are listening to this, this is how we solve some of our,
our
back and forth. We're doing the fight. It just makes sense.
Ding. All right, here we go. 12 therapist-approved tips for fighting fairly. These are skills. All right.
And I think we all know that I don't believe in fighting fairly. If you fight, you're supposed to win, right?
No.
Oh, okay. No. We're gonna learn something different today.
You don't want to win the battle and lose the war.
Oh, art of war. Okay, I got you. Let's go,
Connie.
We're in it. We have wasted 2 minutes of y'all life trying to introduce this topic, and then we go back to introducing ourselves again. We are on fighting fair. We are fighting now, but only in a nice way right now. We're not in our heat of battle. But what we'll do is say, whether you fight a lot or not at all, it's important to remember the following. Disagreements are a natural part of relating to others. In fact, occasional conflicts actually deepen relationships if you can have them with empathy. This is from Marissa G. Franco, PhD. Counseling psychologist and friendship expert. Our relationships reach a whole new level of intimacy when we realize that we can be truthful and upfront about issues, even when it comes to hard things. So, as you saw, Connie, if you guys are watching us on YouTube, Connie was listening to me talk and she had to breathe. She has to do that with me sometimes. It's the only way. It's the only way. So, numero uno, Connie, it says, take a breath. If you're mad as hell, one of the best things you can do is to try to take a deep breath and remind yourself of your ultimate goal. So what do you think about that?
I totally agree. I think sometimes sometimes you get upset about something. Sometimes you're at work or wherever and something happens and you're like, ooh, I'm going to get that person. I'm going to call them up right now and like tell them what I think. Then you're like, okay, let me take a breath. And I do this all the time because I'm like, well, you know what? I'm here for a specific reason. I have specific goals. Letting this person like get to me is like not helping me get to my goals, but also, you know, calling someone out might not help you in general.
Right. You gotta be careful. Choose your moments.
Goals. It's not helping me get to my little goals in my job. Right. So like, sometimes I just have to take a moment and be like, you know what, whatever that person, whatever happened, it wasn't that important. I mean, and so that's a work situation, but I think when it's with your partner or somebody that you're either a good friend or your partner or boyfriend, husband, wife, that like sometimes it is like taking a moment and not just blowing up, because I think sometimes when you just blow up you can say things or do things that you in the moment seem like a good idea, but afterwards you're like, oh, why did I do that, why did I act like that, oh, I don't want to be that person, or I don't want to be known as that person.
Yeah, you got to learn how to not let it always get to that fury of it all. Like that just deteriorates things over time. So if you take the breath, you'll pause a little bit, right?
And we learned how to breathe, right? Breathe in for 3 seconds.
I kind of did.
Hold it for 3 seconds, and then exhale for 3. Oh, it was 5. Oh, my God, 5.
It was the breathing out that I was having the problem with. It was like, because it was a controlled breathing out. It wasn't just like, it wasn't that. It was like, if you guys go back and look at the podcast, the breathing thing was like, you breathe in deeply and then you release in a measured fashion.
Slow.
Yeah, that's the thing I have a problem with. Like, saying that made her laugh last time. I don't know why. I must look ridiculous because I have my eyes closed and I'm like rolling back my eyes, like I'm trying to control this. And if I'm in a rage, that's got to do something, taking that breath, because I'm not thinking about yelling at somebody when I'm doing that shit. It's like, all right, I'm breathing now.
Breathing.
Yeah.
The air filling up your lungs and then exhaling.
So it's about taking that pause. We've heard that all before, but when you're mad as hell, and this is where we're going to have our little discussions, you're trying to help me see the other side of it. But I'm like, when I'm mad as hell, I don't feel like taking a breath. fuck that. I want to get it in because now we're fucking mad and we're fucking mad for a reason. And this takes practice. This takes effort. You have to learn this behavior. It's a skill set, right?
Practice. Yeah. So it's just taking a moment and breathing. So instead of like blowing up, or calling that person up, or like just responding really fast, take a moment.
Try to not lose it and take that moment. As soon as you feel yourself about to lose it, like kind of remember this exercise of, okay, now that I want to go ham on this motherfucker. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't say that word. On this mother fudger, I have to take a breath. This is the moment where you have to control yourself and take a breath.
Yeah.
That's what it's saying.
It says here, breathing allows you to calm down and assess the situation. And specifically, if you're with your partner, it allows you a moment to understand what your partner needs.
As well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is what my partner needs. This is what I need. And this is what makes sense for both of us right now. So instead of just beating up on your partner, which you don't want to do.
That person's mad too because they're coming at you.
Understand their point of view, your point of view. And let's just step back a moment. Because at the end of the day, it's just realizing like your partner's not out to get you. They're not out to like make you unhappy or whatever. And you also are not out to make them unhappy. And if they
idealistic.
Are,
really
that's. Yeah, that's bad. But
when I'm mad at you, I'm mad at you. And my emotions are going to reflect that. And so this is why having these tips out there are so good. And I will say to you all listening that taking that breath is probably going to be for the better. But in that moment, it's going to be hard to do. Just know that. And just know that that's something that you're going to have to get good at. It's not going to come overnight. Excuse me. So
tip number two.
Settling disagreements via email can give partners time to organize their thoughts and articulate them with passion. That's the digital solution for you. Don't say shit, breathe, and go write an email. I can tell you, though, what I do is I just will say all of my frustrations into my voice recorder, and then I just store that away. And then I'll type out a whole thing, and I'll just put that into my drafts. You know, that's like breathing for me. That's like breathing.
Really, you write everything down. And then, but you don't need to send it.
Right.
You need to get it out, but the other person doesn't necessarily need to see
That's a very good thing to do. They don't never need to see that shit, though. Until down the road when they can handle it. It's a funny thing to laugh at. It's like, you said all that? Oh, my God, you're vicious. My God, who did I deal with? Who am I with? So, you know, just saying there's digital solutions, too. You can breathe by just saying, I'm going to get this out one way or another, but I'm not going to get it out at you. I'm just going to get it out. Just get it out. That's breathing to me too. That's digital breathing or whatever you want to call it. Number two is consider schedule. Y'all, it says consider scheduling your conflict conversation. Connie, this is the silliest thing I've ever heard. It's like, I'm so mad at you. I need to talk to you on Friday at 6:30 p.m. about this. This has got me in a tizzy right now. Let's see what you got going on about 2 p.m. on Thursday. Can you schedule that?
This gives you time to like really think about it and like let things go. Because sometimes when you're mad in the moment, you're just so mad you can't even understand. But this, like, sometimes then later when you step back, you're like, oh, why was I so mad?
Oh, yeah. See, that's a breath moment, though. That's a walking away from the situation moment. But the part I'm having trouble with, and you're going to help me with this because you're good like this, but I'm going to say to you in that moment of heated thing, I'd rather breathe than say to you, Connie, so what I want to do is, can we talk about this tomorrow around? What are you doing around 10 a.m.?
But this is a situation where if you're mad about something, rather than just going up to your partner and saying, I'm mad about da-da-da, and you did this, and da-da-da, you say, hey, this thing over here was bothering me. Can we talk about it? Then you give your partner a moment to say, yeah, we can talk about it. We can talk now or let's talk later. And they don't feel like you're just like attacking them.
Well, maybe you the know, title like got me fudged up.
Give them a moment to kind of say, oh, okay, let me put some space into this. Because you don't know what they've got going on. They could be in the middle of their own stress. And then all of a sudden you're showing up saying, hey, we got to talk now. And they're like, wait, I'm like dealing with whatever. Give me a moment. And then, you know, you keep pushing it, then it leads into some other kind of fight.
Well, consider is the first word they use when you guys go check this out on self.com. Consider scheduling your conflict conversation. That's the only thing that hit me a different kind of way, because in the heat of the moment, it's going to take some doing for me to consider anything except for just like, why the hell are we fighting right now? And I'm so mad and you're so mad. It's not like the, I'm making it like it's only one-sided. They're mad too. They're having to do their exercises too. In an argument, in a fight, both people are very mad. You know, a fight is like a combative moment. So well, when I consider scheduling my conflict conversation.
Fight. This is a solid way to avoid an unfair fight is to tell your partner that you'd like to discuss a particular problem in advance as opposed to just ambushing them.
So this is like more I, oh, so before you get mad.
In a corner, I'm going to talk about this now. We got to talk now. What?
So this is before you get angry. You're saying consider it. Let's see. It's solid. Yeah. Okay. So to tell you, so you're angry at the moment, but you don't have to let it out. You're mad at what they did, but you're going to say, look, instead of just in this heat of the moment feeling, I'm going to actually say to her or him, hey, so can we schedule time to talk about this? Is that okay?
But it also can you give me a- put them in a mode where they're more open to hearing your feelings and listening to what you have going on versus
oh this shit is all correct. This is good advice. Don't get it twisted, but I'm just talking about
these
reality.
These are skills. These are not like just these are things to practice.
Right, exactly. So when I go to that, I'm just saying that that's one thing that I would find difficult to do, but I can learn to do it. That's all it is. So that's where I jumped in with the via email thing. That's where I went. I was looking down at that too far, but that's a digital solution to a problem that needs to be handled in under calmer waters. So when we get to number three, I think this is something that a lot of people agree out there. When you're fighting, it's easy to like bring all the other stuff you're mad at into the argument, this stuff that's from that, the other side, but it says stick that. To the issue.
So just to stick to the issue. So one issue at a time. So you don't want to be coming and saying like, you do this, and you do that, and this. And they're like, oh my God, I don't do anything right. How am I... Why are you even with me? Like, maybe you should, like, not see each other anymore.
Right.
So you just say, hey, this one thing is bugging me. Like, I feel like when you just come in and you leave your stuff everywhere, like, you're not, like, valuing, like, the two people live here, not just one. Can we clean this up? Or when you're late, like, every time. No, just kidding. But anyways, stick to one issue at a time. Is what it's
when
saying.
You're
not
late
the whole,
every time.
It says, don't bring the whole kitchen sink into it. Stay focused on one point that you want to address. And you could talk that through.
And this is why. Because you can like store up a lot of information over time and you don't address it. Then it gets all clogged up. And then when you're in another argument, all this other stuff comes out of the woodwork. And it just feels like you're dumping on a person, right? You're just piling on, right?
Yeah. And then, of course, you get defensive. Just like, what? I don't do all that.
Or like you said, do I do anything right? Why are you even with me?
Yeah, like I don't do anything right. Okay, so number four.
Yeah. Don't fight to win. Yeah, if you want to move along with that one, I'm really happy to do it because I fight to win.
Demoralize your partner, pound him into the ground. You want to talk about the issue and come to a resolution, not
you
like
come from the gutter too a little bit. You know what the streets is like. You want to fight? Let's fight. I'm supposed to fight you to win. You know?
To win? What are you winning though?
I'm not gonna go over there and just be like, "Oh, I was just playing. I could whoop your ass,
like,
but I'm
beat
not
up your partner."
Yeah, don't fight to win. Why are we fighting in the first place? Why are we fighting in the first place if somebody's not fighting to win? That's how I thought before.
Well, no, you're just fighting because you got your little feelings hurt.
Well, after you remind yourself that you and your partner are on the same team.
Someone's got their feelings hurt and they want to talk through it. So it's not about winning. It's about being understood. It says right here, it isn't a dictatorship. It's not even really a democracy because there are two of you and this leads to compromise and understanding.
But the fight still exists. That's what I'm saying. The fight is happening for a reason.
If people feel understood, then they're not really wanting to fight that much. People just want to feel like they're listened to and they're being understood. So it's not about like you did something wrong or you got to change because people don't change. Like,
once you get to the fight part, oh, sure they do.
You gotta just try and understand each other. It's about like, hey, you did this and it bugged me. Like, why'd you do that? And then they're like, oh, I did that because I thought that you would appreciate it.
Have you ever heard somebody say that somebody made them a better person? Of course they change. They evolve. They change.
Well, they evolve, but they don't just change.
Well, I can tell you this. Once we're fighting, once I'm on the ground pulling your hair, I guess that's how girls fight, pulling your hair, pulling all your stuff off, getting all in that, like, swinging. Some girls, like, bow up, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, we're fighting now. And there's not going to be a moment where I'm, like, not fighting to win, not fighting to whoop your ass, because you're trying to whoop my ass, too. So let's not even fight. Let's not, that's what I'm saying. If you're not fighting to win, don't even fight. Don't fight to win. Fight. This is saying still fight, but don't fight to win. Isn't that what it's saying?
This is skills to fight fairly. You don't want to just come in and beat people up and demoralize them and you grind them into the ground. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, then they're walking out the door because you just beat them up.
No, don't walk out the door. That's where the dude's like, I was just playing. No, 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 don't leave, girl. No, no, I was just playing.
She's like, well, if you done fucked up. If you listened a little bit, not trying to dictatorship on me.
Trying to dictatorship on me. Don't you dare try to dictatorship on me. I don't respond kindly to that.
This is a relay relationship.
You're having lots of Connie-isms today. I like that. We're going to have to t-shirt a lot of this shit up. I'm going to have to go back in these episodes and t-shirt this shit up. It's going to be good. These are the moments, y'all. Like, remember when Connie said relay? Relay? Yeah. We're working in this together. A relay team is trying to get to the finish line.
Together. You got to pass.
Together. So
here, I'm running so that you don't have to, like, pass the baton. Then you take a little bit of run, then you pass it back to me, and I'll run.
That's the best kind. Let's go to say that when you're fighting, there is a way to do it to where you don't pummel the shit out of someone and demoralize them and make them feel like they need to walk out on your ass, because sometimes that's what'll happen. Number five, it says try to be receptive to each other's.
Nobody wants to live like that where you feel beat up all the time.
No, that's the segue. That's what I was going to say. You're absolutely right. And that's why number five, try to be receptive to each other's concerns, is a big deal. Because in that way, you're not just worried about yourself and you're not just trying to do your self-interest. You're considering everything that you do together as a joint deal. And so their feelings matter as much as yours. And so, you know.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, well, I'm capable sometimes. What do you think about that? I guess that's just self-explanatory, isn't it?
Yeah, that seems pretty straightforward. Like, you want to, like, be considerate and listen to their concerns and not be dismissive.
Ain't nobody got time for that. I don't want to hear what you got to say. Ain't got no time for that. I'm right. You're wrong. Bye-bye. Bye, Felicia, as they used to say back in 2010. Yeah, but if you
just, like, in, out, then it keeps happening over and over. Then people are like, I thought we talked about this. Why does it keep happening?
Yeah, you do have to listen. I've learned that. If you're not listening, you don't have any chance at all. If they don't feel like you're listening at all, that's not going to have any legs. You can't go forward. Or a smart person is like, every time I try and say it, you don't listen. So I can't keep going down that road. If you were just listening and I could see adjustments in behavior, then that would be duly noted. But the fact that every time I tell you some shit, you don't listen and you keep doing the shit that I told you bugs me. That's kind of, you got to think about the other person's feelings. That's what the relationship shit is about. You can't just be thinking about yourself. I told you this makes me feel this way, and yet you keep doing it. You don't care about my feelings. You're not considering my shit. And I have learned that, and it's important. You got to do it. And it should feel good to do that, because your whole thing is to make that person happy. If they're smiling, you should be feeling good. That's what it is. Try to be receptive to each other's concerns. You'll do better that way, right?
Or, like, sometimes it's also, like, underhearing the other person's side. Like, sometimes they may have done something that hurt you, but then if you understand why they did it, you're like, oh, well, you weren't trying to hurt me. You just
right.
With this.
Like, that's okay. Huge.
Maybe I can that's live huge. With that, because
I get a little bit more of it now. Yeah. That's huge for to just get the perspective. It's like, okay, well, the way it came at me was I had to put all this together, but now that you're explaining it to me, I still think the approach can be better, but I get it. And that's good. It humanizes the whole situation.
Progress.
Yeah, a little progress.
Progress.
progress. What is this t-shirt creation day? Relationship.
Relationship.
All right. You gotta do the accent on the thing. You know what's gonna be so funny with this? We're having this conversation, and these are great tips. My phone's saying right now, my phone's saying low battery.
Oh no. Okay, so, number seven. I'll just get into it. Yeah. Use the I statement. Mm-hmm. This can go a long way for any difficult conversation.
So when let's say that we did number six that said repeat what you're hearing first. I did the same thing. I think we're going to be good. I'll just put it on low power mode. Keep going. But repeat what you're hearing.
Repeat what you're hearing. Okay. Okay. So I guess this is statements like, what I'm hearing you say is that you feel this way. So you acknowledge the other person's feelings or their thoughts or their ideas, whatever they're trying to say. And not just be like, yeah.
You eat some cereal and you're just like, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So this allows you to strive for mutual understanding and common ground.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't just eat the cereal and nod your head yes, like you understand. Repeat what you're hearing so you can say, yes, okay, I heard that. What you're saying is this.
Yeah.
Because if you just eat this.
I was eating. I got food all over your car. Sorry, we'll do that
anymore. So you're saying want to get food all over your car. I get that. I hear you. I receive that. Isn't that what all the woke people say? I hear you. I receive that. I get it.
I absorbed it. I'm absorbing.
Oh my God. So woke. It's so woke. I receive what you're saying. I'm not just nodding. Yes. I'm not just nodding. Okay, I get it. Hurry up. I receive it and I get it. Use I statements. Okay.
Number seven. Use I statements. Okay, go ahead.
This is a go-to for any difficult situation. When you frame unfavorable feedback about the other person, it can come off as a critical instead of a constructive. Use statements that focus on that can help the comments feel less harsh. That makes sense. Before you get too creative with I statements, note that they shouldn't include things like, I hate it when. Instead, try phrases like, when X happens, I feel Y. This doesn't eliminate all possible tension, but it can help your partner understand how you might be experiencing certain behaviors. That's nice. That is some psychobabble stuff to me, but it's just like, when X happens, I feel Y. Once again, it's a skill.
Oh no, Art, I don't want you to feel that way.
See? And it feels good right now. I feel fuzzy even when you say it, Connie, because you just go in on me. You just go in heavy style.
Right.
So, yeah, she'll just fight. No, I'm just joking. I'm the fighter. I'm the one that's like, oh, I should be doing this. Connie, when this happens, I feel. So maybe we should discuss that. If I could schedule that for Thursday at around 3 p.m. Tuesday at 7. Okay, we'll talk about it then. That is evolved. This is very evolved. And, you know, if you are condemning somebody by saying, I hate it when you do such and such, that's not good, you know, but it might be true. So you work that out with your skill practice and exercise. It's like, I do hate it when you do this, but I've learned from my skills and my exercise, I can't articulate it that way. Number eight, find common ground. Some kind of way you got to find common ground. What does it say about that?
Well, it says, as we've mentioned, listen closely, asking if you're hearing your partner correctly can help your disagreement be, what's happening?
Oh. Is yours going out too? Oh.
Phone is called. No, okay. All right. Okay, so find common ground. Oh, I lost your picture. This makes sense. Like, kind of like sometimes if something is going awry and you kind of can say, well, this is what I think about it. And if the other person actually agrees or you might agree, then you're like, oh, yeah, I get it. Okay, yeah, we're on the same page. And then when you feel like you're on the same page, I mean, that's kind of alleviates the tension a lot of times. So, I mean, I think this is nice. Let's see what it says. So if we, it says, typically when we unpack thoughts and feelings we have around a certain issue, we can identify areas where we overlap. Mm. And if we do that, it's easier to compromise and come up with a solution. Okay, that seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like when you get to the point where you're saying, well, we do disagree, but what do we agree on? You know, let's find some place where out of all of this fighting and going back and forth that you can get to that moment where you say, well, I do agree with you on that. Well, let's start there. Let's start there, for Christ's sakes, because everything else we're fighting on, but this one place we actually agree. Okay, let's start with that. And then we can fan out, right?
Yeah, because then maybe if the core stuff you're in agreement on, maybe the little stuff is like, okay, I can. It's not that important. Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to fight not to win, you might as well go through this step of finding common ground. It's like, well, I can't fight to pummel you, so I might as well find something where we're agreeing.
This fight, but we are in common.
Yeah, because I can't fight to win. That's been taken off the table with this exercise. So finding common ground is all I got left, damn it. Let's find something we agree on. Because you know what, this is what happens with a lot of relationships, especially the ones that go in for, you know, past the 7-year itch or start to get closer to, you know, 5-7 year thing. You kind of get turned off by the same behavior. You can almost look at somebody's body language and tell when they feel in a kind of way. So you get to a point where you can get real hella vicious because you like just know each other so well. And so it says leave snark and name calling at the door, because this is what happens after about 6-7 years. You're in that for the longest of time and you're just like, you know, bitch, what you talking about? You stupid motherfucker. You know, you just start going in on that, like stuff comes out sometimes. And you can't be on that level. You can't be on that level, but it's like this, what does it say? It seems like it's not a no-brainer, but common sense can disappear when
temper's flare. I mean, snark has, that doesn't get things going in the right direction.
Well, it doesn't work for you, Connie. There's some people that are like, they're damn near throwing shit at the hutch and throwing stuff into the fireplace. And then they're making love snarky passionately 5 hours later, like, oh my God, you drive me crazy. And they're just, you know, doing the makeup sex after that. You know, there are people that they like that intensity. I don't think it's healthy, but it's like a whole different thing where it's like they go all in. They say all kinds of messed up things to each other.
Oh, I know, but this is harsh because people don't forget.
I know you don't. I don't either.
It may seem like a no-brainer, but common sense can disappear when tempers flare. To that end, try to refrain from hitting below the belt or speaking in diminishing, disrespectful, or downright abusive ways.
Mm-hmm.
Being a jerk might seem satisfying in the moment, but it detracts from any resolution you're aiming for, and it can cause lasting relationship damage.
Right, because you forgive, but you don't forget. It's like, you did call me the C word.
You said that about my parents? I remember that forever.
Yeah, the whole thing where you pull out the knives and cut deep because you want to win the fight. This is why they say don't fight to win, because now you said it, you can't take it back.
You leave your partner like bloody on the battlefield.
You can't take it back.
Not revive.
Yeah, that's real talk. Yeah, it's like if you want to go all in on me, I want to naturally go all in on you. That's why I say when you're fighting on the streets, you're trying to win.
Yeah, but tip 10 says take a break. So if it's getting to that point where tempers are flying and you feel like you're going to lose control or you're losing your temper, you could take a break. Just say, hey, I need a moment. Just take a break.
That sounds like breathing. Like,
breathe. It's like, I got to take a moment.
That sounds like scheduling our conflict conversation. All that shit's right. The same thing.
Well, then sometimes you're like, hey, I got to get some water. Hold on, time out. I'm hungry. I got to
snap. Oh, man. I've talked to you in the, oh, my God. Yeah, where it's just like, okay, hello?
Like
hello?
You're like hangry, right? When you're like hungry, angry, and you're like, oh, I'm so mad. But it's only because you're hungry. Then you eat and you're like, oh, okay, angry. I'm better. Yeah. I do that sometimes, like, ah. Oh. Then I eat and I'm like, what?
Yeah, this is true. You got to feed her. You got to feed her. She's not going to be pleasant.
Right, because I'm just starving right now. Sometimes I'm just hungry or something.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Just take a break. It says just don't leave. Like, just don't walk out of the room. Like, I don't know if you've ever experienced that where someone just gets up and leaves. And you're like, what?
I had an 8-year cohabitation relationship.
So let's just say, like, just say, hey, let's take a break. Seems okay.
We fought crazy sometimes. Don't
storm out mid-sentence, slamming the door.
Oh, you do that. Yeah, you do that. You do that.
Yeah, it just says, we're just taking a break.
Sometimes you got to get in the car and go for a drive.
Ease a little pressure. Let some of the steam out.
I can't be in the same house sometime with them. I don't want to see their face. Like, get your face out of my face.
But also, yeah, taking a break allows you to hide zone. Clarity on things. Allows you to kind of figure out, like, well, what's really bothering me?
It's so clinical and cool right now. But when you are hangry, like you are tending to be hangry, hungry and angry at the same time.
I know, but once I eat.
Tempers flare. Huh?
Once I've eaten, I'm more.
But I'm just saying, in the moment, I don't want to see your face. So I'm going to go a different place. And then we're going to come together. Because right now, just looking at you makes me mad, right? That's like, nah, I got to get away. And sometimes, like, you just sitting in the garage in the car. Or she just got the bedroom door and it slammed shut. And you better not go back in that bedroom for a while. Go to your wood shop. Go to your recording studio. But don't leave the house. Because if you go play golf, in that moment, she's going to get even more mad at you. She'd be like, did you go play golf right now?
We're just talking and you were playing golf. Oh, no.
We were just talking and you left the house to go play golf. Well, you slammed the door and you said you didn't want to see me for a second. We're taking a break. So I just went over and shoot a few holes. She's going to be mad as hell. You better not do that, fellas. Don't go play golf in the middle of the argument just because it's taking a break time. Stay in the home. Don't do it. Go out to the car and just sit in your Rover. And turn on your favorite radio station. Listen to talk radio. It'll calm you down. But don't you dare go to that golf. If she hears that garage door open, you in trouble. Ooh, you in trouble. Make that a double. Your phone gonna ring. Your phone's gonna ring. She'll be like, did you leave? You better lie and be driving back. No, I didn't. Just be driving right back in the garage.
I just went to the grocery store. Better come back.
I got you some Ben and Jerry's. That's all I was doing is getting some Ben and Jerry's. But I know you like Chunky Bunky. Oh, yeah. I brought you something. Don't do it, fellas. There's a way not to mess up.
Bring the Cherry Garcia back.
Cherry Garcia. Okay. Duly noted. Set fair fight boundaries. What? Once again, I don't understand.
All right. Number 11. Okay, these might include zero tolerance for name calling, aggression, or anything else that makes both parties uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
If setting clear boundaries sounds extreme, remember that these are guidelines to help you both maintain the respect required for a genuinely constructive discussion.
See, once again, this fair fight. Fight fair. Don't fight to win. Schedule your conflict for later. This is stuff that's not natural when you actually had to fight a lot of your life. You know, you are taught to fight the win.
It's not like you're fighting for your life.
I know, but it's metaphorical.
Like, trying to like jump you. This is like with the person that you love.
You know how many divorces start from these fights that get like crazy style?
They I know, but that's why people go through these skills. These are skills. Learned. Right. These are learned behaviors.
So fair fight boundaries.
Unlearn the other behaviors and learn these new behaviors.
So you're saying that right now we should fight, but we're going to set boundaries to how that can go down.
Well, that's tip number 11.
What is it saying with the boundaries? The boundaries are not punitive?
Well, it's just saying that these are guidelines. So you can just like what we were talking about before, like, well, okay, before you get into a fight, let's just set some boundaries. Like, okay, if you're going off to work, I won't be yelling at you as you're leaving the door and vice versa, right? Like if I'm leaving the house to go to work, you shouldn't be trying to like have a conversation at that moment. That could be like a reasonable thing. So we just, everyone agrees on that. Or it could be like, okay, when someone just walks through the door, you don't like be like, all right, we got to talk. Nobody wants to hear that when they've been like doing whatever they've been doing and you finally get home and then all of a sudden we got to talk now. I'd be like, okay, wait, I'll be back. Let me be back in a few minutes.
See what I'm saying?
I'm like, okay, hold on. But then nobody wants to come home to that. Like, could you imagine living like that? And like, you don't know, you come home, you don't know if you're gonna get, hi, I'm so happy to see you, or we gotta talk. You'd be like stressed out about going home.
You've always hated the we gotta talk phrase.
Right, nobody wants to hear that. You wanna hear like,
we need to talk. It could be about good shit sometimes.
I'm so happy to see you. But when you have time later,
we need to talk.
I never want to hear that either. Maybe, I don't know.
No, anyway, you have always had a problem. You're like, what?
I'd be wondering, what am I going to get when I get home? Is it going to be the nice version or the angry version? Like, no one wants to live like that.
I've left Connie messages. I was like, you know what? We need to talk.
Or like, I'm like, oh, who's going to answer the door? The mad version or the happy version? The mad, the happy person is happy to see me, or the ones just like, okay.
So fair fight boundaries are about this whole thing where it's a little bit of consistency in what your expectations are, even when you are in a disagreement with one another, which is bound to happen within a relationship that matters, because there's passion there, there's emotion there, but setting these boundaries will help you not be mean, vicious, and horrible to one another to the point where you dissolve and destroy what could be something that is so beautiful and beneficial, right? So that's why these rules are helpful to people like myself. I understand, Connie, and I receive it. Number 12, consider an aftercare ritual. I know what my aftercare ritual is, makeup sex. You owe me that, at least. You owe me that. Because I've done all these damn steps. I want my aftercare ritual to be very robust. I need my whole aftercare ritual to be exactly what I expect.
Hugging, asking each other nice, like asking each other questions designed to restore the intimacy.
Oh, I know what's going to restore the intimacy. Oh, yeah, you know what it is. If we got through all these steps, I want my aftercare ritual to contain these elements. And you'll know what they are because we will have discussed them before as our boundaries of what we expect. So there won't have to be an argument over this because you'll know already what he expects to happen in the aftercare ritual. Wink, wink. If you could see my eyes, they're winking, fellas. Learn these tips so that your aftercare ritual can be as robust and amazing as I imagine mine would be. Everyone should have an aftercare ritual. You should too, Connie. What would your aftercare ritual? Sometimes it'd be like, Amex, my aftercare ritual, I'm about to blow this card up. Thank you very much. I'm not spending my own money, that's for sure. I'm taking your money out for a spin. That's my aftercare ritual. Thank you, you're coming with me. That's my aftercare ritual. And you're gonna act like you like it wherever we go. Do you like this, honey? Yes. We should get it, huh? Yes. But fellas, you're going to get yours too. Don't lose sight on it. Aftercare ritual coming for you too. I like this part. This part I really like. Because you get a reward for doing these damn steps. You get a reward, dang it.
That's right. Like, instead of like beating up your partner, pummeling them into the ground and like, gotta win this.
You ain't going to get an aftercare ritual that way.
You have some like happy like resolve.
Yeah.
And then
nobody's getting the aftercare ritual after they pummeled somebody. Well, nobody feels like giving it to you.
Lying dead on the battlefield, there's no aftercare.
You'd be out there, Connie, like this, bloody blood coming out of your mouth like one of the movies you do. You know, you could have had an aftercare ritual, but you fucked it up. And then you just die. And then they're just like, oh, I screwed it up. Everything, my aftercare ritual, I shouldn't have came so hard at her. She was looking forward to the aftercare ritual. You came too strong. You pummeled her to death. Or him. I go to that her thing, guys, but we know a lot of it comes our way. I'm a champion for y'all. We get a lot from our spouses, our girls, all that. Like, you know, the nice guys, man, we get it sometimes. You know, the girl get the nice guy and then she's like hard on him. I know how you feel, dude. I'm here for you. Hit us in the comments. Hit us in the comments how you try to be the nice guy. She just pummels you. You're just dust at the end of it. You're like, what did I do? It's sad. It really is, Connie.
That is very sad.
Look at you. Connie has many small violins. She plays them for me. She's playing one for you. She don't care that your man is hurting. He tried it and you just pummeled him. Females do that. No, there's some women. Do you tell your girlfriends not to do that to their dude? They're like, don't do that to the dude.
You're drinking frozen water. Yeah. In a glass.
It's not a
good. Is that plastic?
Yeah, this is essential.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
This is the good stuff. It's just frozen. You know I don't fuck around my water. Whew. Fiji, essential, smart. You know, when I didn't drink a whole lot of it, I still had the best kind. Now that I drink a whole bunch of it, I'm drinking that and tea all the time. It's really just
tea.
Discombobulating, yeah. But I want to get back to the aftercare ritual that you will receive when you do all of these steps. There's 12 steps. It's on self.com. The links are on the bottom. And fellas, you want to get to that step number 12. It makes it all worth it. You can fight to win an aftercare ritual.
That's the reward.
All right. It's the reward system. That's what it is. So, you know, try these steps out. It's going to take some practice, but we believe in them. We're going to tell you how they work in our lives. You probably get to see how they work in our lives eventually. You're like, what happened to the Get Up Team podcast? They weren't fighting fair at all. We're leveling up. We're not leveling down. So I'm going to take this. I receive this. And I'm going
we're
to
recording.
Execute it.
All good.
Yeah, thanks for asking. why do you ask?
No, I can see that it's recording. I'm not saying.
Oh, it could it be because this episode was recorded once before?
But wasn't recorded.
We thought it was. I like this one even better though. The one time you record something and it's even more fun. I'm gonna give the credit to you. Yeah, that's what's up.
I lost your video.
I know. I got to close out with you. This is okay. Art.
This is Connie. And this is the Get Up Team podcast with Art and Connie. And
that's
remember,
right.
Eat a little sunshine for breakfast.
Yeah. And don't be a sleep sheet. Don't do it. Peace.